Reading from Romans chapter 6 again. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Well, friends, we're talking this morning about baptism. It's a bit of a strange symbol, but it's one of the ancient traditions of the church. For 2,000 years, the Christian church has participated in this mysterious symbol, the immersing of someone in water. Baptism simply means immersion. But we have to be clear that the immersion in water is just a symbol of something that happens on the inside of a person. There's nothing special that happens here that's unique, that is somehow powerful in itself. The power that's been demonstrated has already happened in the lives of the people who will be baptized today, and today they're just bearing witness to it. So, in Christian theology then, baptism represents quite a few things. I want to talk about three of those things for you today so that you understand exactly what's happening here. First of all, baptism means washing. Again, this is the symbol of something that happens in the heart of a person. It's washing or forgiveness. And behind this is a sort of awareness of a problem. The Bible says it this way, for all have sinned and fall short of the beauty or the glory of God. See, there's this sense that the world is not the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes I think about loss of innocence moments. I still remember, I was probably 9 or 10 years old. It's not the kind of thing you mark on a calendar. And I was in the room, and my mom and my aunt were talking about a really terrible thing that had taken place in our city, in Cambridge. And my mom was telling my aunt about this story, I'll spare you the details, believe me, you don't want them, but an incident of domestic violence and loss of life. And I remember as this maybe 9 or 10, maybe 11-year-old kid, suddenly realizing, oh boy, the world isn't the way it's supposed to be. Do you have an experience like that? Do you have that moment at which, like, all of the innocence and the naivety of your childhood was suddenly like, whoa, wait a minute. People are nodding. This is interesting. It's interesting. People are nodding. They know when that loss of innocence took place. When we realize that the world is not that happy place that our well-meaning parents wanted us to believe, and suddenly we became aware. There's a lot of pain in this world. And in all our lives, there are challenges and struggles and griefs and sorrows and broken relationships. And in the Christian faith, the cause of these problems is that humans have made choices. Humans have harmed each other. Humans have harmed the environment, and that causes disease, and there's pain. And as much as we want to blame it on the bad people somewhere else, we know that we've all made our contributions to the problem of evil in the world. And we're left with a world that is far less than the beauty that God intended. And the first symbol of baptism that I want you to hear today is about washing and forgiveness. Washing and forgiveness. It's the idea that God meets us in those places of guilt and shame, and he washes us clean. He offers us forgiveness. We are cleansed. And that comes to us through the death of Jesus on the cross. There's a classic book written in the 1600s. Maybe you've read it, The Pilgrim's Progress. Any John Bunyan fans out there? Yeah, okay, a few. In this book, Bunyan describes the progress of a man named Christian. It's an allegory or an extended, just a symbolic story. And Christian's burdened by this heavy pack, which represents guilt and shame, and it hinders his progress in so many ways. Let me read to you a little bit of the story. Bunyan says, "Now I saw in the dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. And up the way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a grave. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the grave, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then Christian was glad and lightsome and said with a merry heart, 'He hath given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death.' Then he stood a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked, therefore, and looked again, even till, this is a great line, even till the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks." I love that. "Sent the water rushing down his cheeks. And now as he stood looking and weeping, behold, three shining ones came to him and saluted him with, 'Peace be to thee.' And the first of these shining ones said to him, 'Thy sins be forgiven.'" Beautiful story. Yeah. What Bunyan describes here is the experience of many Jesus followers over the centuries, and it describes what happens in the symbolic action of baptism, a washing, a cleansing, a forgiveness, and an unburdening of guilt. But baptism also means a kind of and resurrection. When someone's immersed in water, it symbolizes a kind of death and resurrection. Death to an old way of living and resurrection to a new kind of life, a Jesus kind of life. You see, if God simply offered forgiveness but not new life, that would be a strange kind of hope. All of us would be stuck in destructive behavior. But God in his wisdom has provided new life for people, the kind of life that doesn't center on selfishness and harm, but rather a life of service, a life of care for those around us, a life of selflessness, a Jesus kind of life. So baptism is death to the old way and being raised to a new kind of life, because the truth is that we all need second chances. We all need fresh starts. Each and every one of us need a fresh start. And there's lots of talk these days about cancel culture, and it's a challenging topic. In one sense, we say everyone needs to be held accountable, I think. If someone does harm, they need to be held accountable for their behavior. But the failure of the current cancel culture, though, is that there's no mechanism for restoration. People are discarded, thrown off onto the garbage pile and abandoned. But the good news of Jesus is that, yes, people are held accountable, but then they are invited into a new kind of life, into a contribution to a better way. Rather than being discarded, they're transformed into being a force for good, or as the Apostle Paul says, we become ministers of reconciliation. It's a new life. It's like being born again, right? So baptism is washing of forgiveness. It's death to the old life and raised to a new life. But third, and closely related, baptism provides a new kind of identity. Just briefly, identity being the sum total of how I view myself, right? Just real simply, it's the self-perception. It's how I view myself. And often these perceptions are shaped by sometimes our successes, sometimes our interests, the things that I'm good at, or the things that I think I'm good at, not always accurate, things I like. Now, when I was a youngster, I imagined myself to be a hockey player, but I was the most average hockey player you ever met. But that didn't matter. What mattered is that's the way I saw myself. And I would talk about hockey with my friends. I would dream about hockey. When I laid down to go to bed, I'm sure there's a period of about 10 years there where every night I imagined myself making great plays. This is ice hockey. I don't know if you've heard of it. I would imagine myself making these great plays. because I saw myself as a hockey player. That was my identity. It was what I was interested in. I imagined myself to be successful. It was mostly imagination. But it's safe to say that this was my identity. It was shaped around hockey. And often our idea, our identity is based around the things we're like or we're good at, but sometimes too, identity is based around our failures, right? You think back and you think of those moments in time when you didn't get it quite right. You failed. You failed yourself. You failed somebody else. And that story kind of replays in your mind, and I don't know if you feel that angst. That angst that sticks with you, right? Because it's like that bad choice sticks with us in a kind of identity. It's a perception of ourselves. So identity can be take shape around our failures as well, but it can also take place around things people have said to us, right? Words that have been spoken over us, maybe for the negative, and it affects our perception and it shapes our lives. Baptism, immersion, is a symbol of a new identity, an identity that's shaped by the new life that Jesus gives us. It includes forgiveness, it includes a new life, but it changes everything about how we see ourselves. It's a self-perception that has at its center the love of Jesus for us. And instead of being shaped by our failures, I have an identity that says forgiven. Instead of being shaped by the nasty things that have been said to us, I have an identity that's shaped by God's words, "You are my child." It's a different kind of identity. And that's why when someone becomes a Christian, it's sometimes called new birth or being born again. It's like a fresh start, something we all need. Well, this morning we have three people who are going to participate in the symbol of baptism, the symbol that something has changed in their hearts. Washing and forgiveness, death to the old life and resurrection to a new life, and a new identity that's tied to Jesus. So in a few minutes, we will enter this tank of water up here and we'll hear their stories. We'll hear the story of what God has done in their lives. We'll have someone share a word of affirmation for them, a word of encouragement, and maybe a scripture, and then we'll proclaim this new life by lowering them and raising them in the water, a symbol of what God has done in their lives. Does that sound good? Well, let's sing together. I'll pray, and then we'll get to singing again. Father, these beautiful truths, my words hardly do justice to the great things that you've done for us. Lord, set our hearts and our minds at ease in order that the stories could become the center, the stories of your mercy and your grace could become the center of what we're doing this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.